Today's podcast is sponsored by Lyft because everybody wants to make some extra money and you can do it by becoming a driver for Lyft because when you're a driver for Lyft, you can become your own boss, meeting new people, getting to know a new city, and even setting your own schedule. When you're driving for Lyft, you could be making up to $1,500 a week. Even if you already have a full-time job, you could be a Lyft driver for the weekends. Some people are making $800 just working Friday night through the weekend. I take Lyfts all the time when I don't want to be driving my car, and I've met all sorts of different people, actors, moms, even podcasters like myself can be joining Lyft and be making some extra money. You could be saving up for something special or just making some extra cash or getting to know some new people. So be your own boss. Get some flexible working hours and drive whenever you want with some guaranteed money up to $1,500 per week. You could be making up to $35 an hour and you get to keep your tips. So be sure to use this URL, lyft.com/lifestyle. That's lyft.com/lifestyle. And use this link so they know that we send you lyft.com/lifestyle. That's lyft.com/lifestyle. I'm Rob Cesternino. We're talking about all of the internet's top news stories for the week of February 22nd, 2016 that are news AF.
If a story is buzzing like it's on crystal meth, it's about to be news AF. If the same old news makes you bored to death, it's time for some news AF. Actual, factual news.
Yes, that's right. It's the actual, factual news once again. And here we are with our amazing News AF team, first coming to us remotely from the great state of Hawaii, our good friend Tyson Apostle.
Aloha.
Yes. Are you saying goodbye or hello right now?
It's all context, man.
Yes. Or peace.
How long do you have to be there until you can say that and not get mocked? Like to be able to use that?
Non-ironically.
Well, I still mock everybody that uses it, even if they're born here. But okay. I've made it a point to really go all out with the alohas. Now, I used to be anti-aloha and mahalo because it was really annoying to hear. And then I'll walk in a place and be like, aloha, everybody, aloha.
You've immersed yourself in the culture.
Yeah, and they look at me that with pure disdain, but they're like, well, he said the word that we've been trying to force everybody to use. So we can't really get upset at him.
Yeah. Also, that other voice you heard is my best friend, Danny Bryson.
New best friend.
How are you, Danny?
Established this morning.
Favorite color is blue, Rob.
Favorite color is blue. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Really, what's your favorite color when we get quizzed by Nicole?
What's mine? It's also blue. That's why Danny's my best friend.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
It was written in the stars from the very beginning.
Yes. Danny's my best friend pending. I have to ask my wife who is my actual friend and who is my best friend. So once I run that past her, and sometimes that's a trick. Sometimes I'm supposed to say that she's my best friend. So we'll see about that.
That's socially acceptable to do.
Right.
I told my wife, I've only known one person longer than I know her, and you know, outside my family, and that is Tyson.
Wow.
And I don't know how she took that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not true. You've known other people longer.
No, but not, I mean, like really friends. No, like friends with. Yeah. Who cares about knowing people? I know lots of people, but I don't care about them.
Do you guys say that your wife is your best friend?
If she's present, yeah.
Yeah. I would say, but I would like to have a best friend that actually likes me. That would be really my ideal. Like on paper, it sounds good, but I don't know.
Yeah.
like a best friend that's nicer to me.
Well, like a friend you can call names and joke around with.
I guess so.
And there's no repercussions. Whereas with a wife, you can't really do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
At least not my wife.
Right. Anyway, all right, so we're going to talk about all of the news stories happening here in the last week of February here in 2016. Can't believe it's flying by like that. February is almost over.
Thank goodness.
Man.
Yeah. So,
dude, I've been here 5 weeks. I'm only going to be podcasting from Hawaii one more time.
One more time. Wow.
So sad.
1 week from today, and then Tyson is going to be back on the mainland, and we'll talk about everything coming up. Danny, how was your week this past week?
Yeah, it flew by. I don't even know what I did. I was thinking about it this morning. And I have no recollection of what happened the past 7 days or 6 days.
Oh my, were you abducted by aliens?
Yeah. Check your butt.
I will after this podcast.
Okay.
But I don't think I was, but mm-hmm. something happened last week. I'm just not sure what it was.
Yeah. Okay. If anybody knows the whereabouts of Danny for the past 7 days, let us know on Twitter. Hashtag news AF. All right. Let's get into our news stories this week. We got a lot of stuff to get to. And one of the things that we always tend to talk about on this show is new ways that people are meeting up and dating and finding people. And so there's a new service which has just been launched, and it's only for people in New York, but it relies on not the sense of sight, which many of us rely on, because now you can rely on your sense of smell due to a thing called smell dating, which matches people up based on their scent. Now, both of you guys are off the market. Tyson, is this something that would have appealed to you?
I think from a scientific standpoint, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I could submit a shirt from here right now, but I feel like my Kahlua pork saturated clothing would win over many suitors.
Well, let me explain how it works. So I guess they send you a shirt that you wear for 3 days, and they tell you not to wear like a deodorant or any sort of like perfume or cologne or Axe body spray, which I know is one of your
favorite. Don't shower for these 3 days or what?
I think so. Maybe you shower normally, but you don't add any additional scents to you that could sort of like mask your odor. Then you send the shirt back to them and they send you 10 shirts back. So you then pick which shirts you want. Now, Danny, I believe they also don't tell you if the shirts are from men or women. And you really are just like, there's no labels here on the shirts.
What a shocker would be to find out you're straight, you know?
According to smell. What if you were straight with your smell, but homosexual with other preferences? That would be weird. That'd be a mind freak.
Yeah. I think that the nose doesn't lie. I'm pretty sure that he's basically like the nose knows. Right.
That's hips.
Well,
hips
spend,
don't lie.
I spend a lot of energy concealing my odors. Like, because I think they probably are really offensive.
Well, right? Not to the right person.
So maybe I should just let myself loose around my wife and then really find out for sure if she is the one for me.
Yeah.
If she's your best friend.
Yeah. Exactly.
So you find somebody who is your perfect match for you. I feel like that this is problematic in a lot of ways, because I feel like that necessarily, like, I don't know if I want to necessarily be with the person who is the perfect smell match for me.
But what if they're also the hottest?
Well, that would be different. But why necessarily is the person who I match up with, like, it's like, okay, you know, they send, like, if you're like this woman, it's like, okay, here's the guy. Here's who this guy is who matched your smell. But do you necessarily, is it like that both ends necessarily pick each other?
I think I smell a reality TV series coming, Rob.
Yeah.
They have to both pick each other to be matched up.
Is that true?
Yes. That's why there's 10, because there's a good chance that maybe one out of 10 people will. I mean, do you only submit one shirt, I guess?
You send in one. You get back 10 shirts. I don't understand necessarily how the math works on this. Like, Danny, does this seem actual craptual to you at all?
I read it, and I had a moment, but the source is one of those, it could go either way types of a source.
Right. Like, there's an actual website out there. I was on the website I was looking at, and I watched their video. And the website is, let me just give out it's smell.dating.
See, it's like it falls into this category of real, but a joke, you know, where they went through all the effort. They thought it was funny. They said, let's just try this. But it's not a bunch of guys sitting around trying to figure out, let's make connections through smell. And like, that's all they're devoted to. It's probably just a bunch of people getting together. I think it's a great, funny idea. And they're like, we'll get some publicity. It'll be great for our 15 minutes and we'll move on to something else.
Yeah. And there's 100 people pool, which is not a lot of people. So that also makes me think that it's pretty doable.
Yeah. So does the math work on this? Now it costs $25. If this is like a cash grab, $25, but 100 people, they're only making $2,500 to do this.
Yeah. It's not about the money. It's about finding real love to these people. They want to, you know,
I feel like they'd have to give you 10 shirts.
Yeah. I mean, is this like
maybe they snip the shirt up and into 10 pieces.
Yeah, oh, that's a good idea.
That's a good idea. Yeah.
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 Do you work for them, Tyson? Maybe you should.
I do not, but I just thought of that. Yeah.
Because I would think it would be a big handicap for somebody who was not a traditionally good looking person, but they smelled great, because there really would be no way for them to really translate that to online dating or Tinder, sort of like a not great looking guy, but a great smelling guy. I guess that guy would just need to keep like going like to bars and gyms and stuff and trying to like just get like in close into people's personal space. And then it's like, boy, that guy is not attractive, but he is intoxicating.
Yeah, I think most obese men smell really great.
They smell good.
Wait.
No.
No, I don't think so. I mean, I don't know. I don't have any friends. And unless Tyson gets obese, I probably will never smell an obese person.
See, I think that pheromones. Well, I know that
the fatter I get, the stinkier I get.
I think pheromones is different than sweat. Like, I feel like that, you know, you sort of like have.
If it's just straight pheromones, then that's something different. But if it's sweat and all the toxins releasing, obviously the more garbage you put in your body, the more toxins your body's going to release, which can't be a good smell.
Yeah, it's almost like, what do you smell like when you're completely clean, as opposed to what do you smell like when you are sweaty? I mean, again, I don't know. I'm not an expert in this.
Yet.
I don't think I am either.
Yet. And I often don't get very sweaty at all, because then I would have to have been doing something.
Yeah, something physical.
I just feel like I smell all the time. And so I, you know, maybe that's how I found my wife. Maybe she could just accept my smells.
So you think that she just could put up with them?
Yeah, or maybe she was attracted to them.
Attracted to them. Is that possible?
Maybe inadvertently, we were one of the very first successful smell dates ever.
And they were watching you.
Yeah. Maybe they used us as a template. Like, that guy smells. He finally found a girl who could accept him for how bad he reeks.
Tyson, you ever watched the movie Love Potion Number 9?
Yes, I have, dude.
Yeah. Is that like this?
It's exactly like this.
Yeah, I used to like that movie. That was a good movie. What was that? Yeah. That was Sandra Bullock.
Because it made you dream.
Yeah, who was the other guy?
And
Kate Donovan? Was that the guy? Yes.
Yeah, some goofy guy.
Wow, excellent job by me to call out Kate Donovan, 24 alumni also, on Love Potion Number 9. Boom. Really impressed with that.
So Love Potion Number 9, Danny, for you who don't know, unless you have seen Love Potion Number 9.
I've never seen it.
Did you see Love Potion 8?
Nerdy scientists.
Never saw that either.
Potion Number 8 or 1 through 8.
1 through 8. Yeah.
Two nerdy scientists come up with this love potion that you add to your body, and it makes the opposite sex go bonkers for you.
Okay.
And ecstasy. They go out and have the times of their lives with thousands of potential mates. Before settling on each other.
Right.
Oh, nice. They found love.
That's kind of a happy story
all along. That's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. They didn't even need the potion because they were in the lab together the entire time.
Oh, my gosh.
That's Sandra Bullock didn't have to struggle to meet men anymore. She was able to then find somebody. 25-year-old Sandra Bullock did not have a problem meeting eligible suitors anymore.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, she had glasses on, so she's pretty nerdy.
She did. Okay, so in terms of smell dating, is this something like? Do you feel like I could see more guys doing this? Do you think that this is something that women will engage in? Of like, boy, let me see if I could find the perfect guy for me. Let me smell these 10 swatches of undershirt.
I don't think it matters because they're not men or women. They just send you a smorgasbord of shirts.
Hmm. I guess so.
So maybe the pool is all guys right now and everybody's finding out they're either gay or they already knew that.
I feel like that this just seems like a thing that a guy might be more interested in doing of like, sure, let me just do anything to meet some women. And I feel like that, I don't know, maybe I feel like women can, are this is beneath them.
Contend for themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that this site's going to be shuttered pretty quick. By a lack of interest.
Yeah. Is there a hygiene issue here also of sending, dirty shirts around in the mail?
Yeah, is it considered bio weaponry or whatever? Bad enough.
Yeah,
probably.
I don't know. All right, so we'll see exactly what goes on here with smell dating and see if it starts to catch on. Maybe this is going to be the new thing.
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Why don't we then take a look at another advancement in the world of technology? Now, we've seen that there are more and more cars that are coming out on the market, which are cars that park themselves. But Nissan has come out with something new, which deals with the issue of all of the chairs in an office being not pushed in under the desk, and has gone to create some Nissan automated parking office chairs. Now, Danny, I know you swing by the office from time to time. Does it annoy you when the chairs are not under the desk?
Actually, the other day I went into my office and everybody was having a meeting, the other people, and someone had taken my chair into the meeting room and I had no chair for like 30 minutes. So it would have been great if I could just go in, clap, and then have my chair come back to me and then kick the guy off it. And then, you know, my chair would be there. It'd be easy.
So you want an ejector seat?
Well, no, If you watch the video, when you clap, all the chairs go to their places. Mm-hmm. So by clapping, the chair would come into my office and then there would be the ejector would be my leg kicking him. So that part's built into me and I'd kick him out of the chair and then my chair would be back.
So you want, I like that. You want like the kit from Knight Rider version of an office chair where you're like, oh, I'm in the office. Like, get that guy off of here.
Yeah. Well, I like the idea because it's so cool that when the lady in one of the videos, when she's leaving the office, she just claps once and all of the chairs return to their stations.
Yeah, it's really creepy if you watch the videos. And this story that I'm looking at is on the nextweb.com, which is talking about these office chairs that Nissan has designed. It just, this seems like overkill to me. How big of a problem is this in these offices that the chairs aren't all underneath the table, Tyson, that we need to spend millions of dollars to figure this out?
I feel like if you can't drive an office chair, then you shouldn't definitely drive a car.
Right. I mean, can we get to the point where if we're going to have self-driving cars, should we have self-driving chairs soon?
Well, that sounds like that's what the story was. I mean, Nissan had the technology. They're like, dude, what could we do with this? We've got a bunch of spare parts laying around. And then he's like, let's just put them in chairs.
Don't you feel like this story is going the way of the hoverboard story where we're going to start to have office chairs bursting into flames and all sorts of people getting injured on office chairs?
I just think it's one of those things where a car company has spare technology and they're thinking, how can we market, you know, our car's automation? Well, let's put it somewhere goofy like a chair. Like, did you know that Lexus made a hoverboard?
No.
See, Lexus made an actual hoverboard and shot a commercial with it. Doesn't mean they make hoverboards, but it was to promote something else. So I feel like this is just Nissan doing something goofy to get attention for their automated car driving stuff.
Yeah, they could definitely do some cool commercials.
Yeah. I like the idea that you could like work in an office and then if you're like the boss, you could fire somebody in the chair, just like takes them out to the street and then just like drops them off and then brings the chair back into the office.
Yeah.
And then would the chair come in and empty their desk for them and take it back out?
No, the desk is automated too. Then the desk drives outside and then empties itself out and then drives back in the building.
Okay, now we're getting somewhere. See, I think maybe Nissan is on the same page as us.
Yeah. I mean, in the video, the hype video for this, there's a lot of sequences of like people have just gotten out of like a meeting and then, you know, some sort of supervisor walks in and does like the, and then everything, all the chairs just drive themselves back under the table. But it does seem like in the middle of the day, doesn't it feel like that somebody might clap by accident and create havoc in the office?
And drive your knees right into the edge of the table?
Yeah.
That is
It does actually. But maybe you have to hit a certain note with your clap, or maybe it's a nose, the boss's hands or something.
Yeah. Maybe. You have to like program it. Because
Everybody's clap
is unique.
Yeah, right. Now, Tyson, if we're going to have these self-driving cars and the self-parking office chairs, are you looking forward to the implementation of the self-driving bicycles?
A motorcycle?
No, a motorcycle is different. That's a motorized vehicle. You still have to drive it. The bicycle, this would be a motor.
Holy crap, dude.
Yeah, this would be a self-driving bicycle that you don't have to, turn the handles. You could just like take a nap.
Dude, the cat scared the shit out of me. Oh my God. I just was not paying attention.
Ow, what happened?
Just like right here. I just wasn't paying attention. And then all of a sudden there was this being like right next to me.
Oh, whew. It was your pheromones. My back out. You smell too good.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. Self-driving bicycle. No, I think you'd be safer manning it yourself.
Danny, would you take the self-driving bicycle anywhere?
No, I'm with Tyson. It's way too dangerous. I would rather take the self-driving office chair around town than a self-driving bicycle.
Yeah, how far can you go on the self-driving office chair?
That's a good question. It'd be nice if you could sit on it after taking your shower in the morning, and then your boss claps all the way back at the office, and then it just slowly, it works its way right to your desk.
Like the Jetsons, like opening sequence, like you just sit it just like the chair just takes you to your office.
Oh. Perfect.
Takes you through the shower and everything, like a conveyor belt system, except for just on a chair.
You just like sort of sit back and it brushes your teeth and everything and just eventually gets you to the office.
And you just poo right into it and it goes down the tube.
Even better.
Right. It does everything.
So we'll see exactly just, you know, how much money companies have to waste on self-parking chairs.
Your company can buy these chairs and they stock the office, just prepare for the whole business to be shut down.
Right, right. You know, it's like only like the companies that are like wasting the most money would ever get these for their meeting rooms.
It's like an Enron move.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So then here's a story that came to us from our international correspondents talking to us about something that went on at the annual festival of broken necks. Now, Danny, were you able to tell us that? Is that a real thing? There's an annual festival of broken necks?
I didn't focus on the festival. I focused on the roller coaster because there were some questions as to its realness.
Legitimacy.
Right? If you watch the video, for some reason, there's a video cut right in the middle, right before he does the loop.
Okay, but let's set up the story here and then we'll get into conspiracy theories. Right. So there was something called the Festival of Broken Necks in Germany. And so, I'm sorry, Switzerland, in the town of Basserdorf. And there is a float in this parade, which has a real roller coaster, which is a little bit something like a combination of a roller coaster and sort of like the coal mining cart, like Indiana Jones and Short Round ride in the Temple of Doom. So, Danny, this video is circulating around. There's an animated GIF of it. Talk about what you think could potentially be actual crapshool about this.
So it all looks pretty real. And if it is someone doing something, you know, post, you know, whatever, piecing it all together, they've done a great job. It's just so strange because it starts on one cell phone camera. And then right in the middle, when he does the actual loop, it cuts to a different cell phone. And then the ride ends back at the original cell phone. So it's this very suspicious kind of cut right in the middle of the whole action. But I did notice that someone in the comments said that it wasn't the first time there's been a float with a roller coaster on it. And that Honda made a roller coaster float several years ago.
Is it a self-driving roller coaster?
No. But it did have it looked a lot more legit than this one, but it could take four or five people around a little roller coaster while it was being driven. So it's not an original idea, which makes it a little bit more realistic that it could be done.
Tyson, did this sort of raise your suspicion watching this roller coaster video?
Raise my suspicion as to what?
If this is a real video?
No, the Festival of Broken Necks just kind of raises my suspicion a little bit more.
Yeah, honestly, I can't tell if that's a joke or not in the story.
Or a mistranslation. But there is a Facebook.com event group page. Yeah, right there. Okay. Festival of Broken Necks. Looks like a music festival. I'll keep looking.
Yeah. Okay. Because that would be quite ironic if it's a festival of broken necks and then somebody actually broke their neck on a roller coaster. I guess that would probably be the opposite of ironic. Be fitting.
It would be exactly what they wanted.
Be fitting, right?
I'm not sure about this.
Now, Tyson, you're a thrill seeker. Would you go on a roller coaster like this in a parade float?
A homemade roller coaster on a parade float?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, sign me up, definitely. No, dude.
He's got
kidding me?
No.
I don't even download apps if they're made by a person. If it's not a company that's made them, like if I look and it's like, oh, made by Thomas Gorinsky, I'm like, nope, not for me, dude. I only download apps by real companies.
What's the most dangerous thing you've ever done?
Well, I don't know, because that's all relative.
Yeah,
I raced road bikes. That was pretty dangerous.
That's pretty dangerous.
Yeah, that is pretty dangerous.
Yeah. I mean, we would go like 70 miles an hour downhill sometimes.
Yeah. I think the most dangerous thing that I ever did, that one night in college, me and a couple of the guys that I lived with, we played American Gladiators after coming home from the bar and we made our own eliminator obstacle course. And
sounds awesome.
Part of it, the last leg of it was like you had to like climb over the roof of the garage and then get and then like sort of like jump off and get down. And like then and like another person was like hitting you with like the cushions from the couch as you tried to get through this obstacle course.
Were you okay?
Yeah.
Are you okay right now?
Yeah. No, I actually won, but it was pretty dangerous.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That sounds pretty cool. I don't know what the most dangerous thing I've done is because I've always lived. So I think you only really know how dangerous it is once you die.
Yeah.
Danny always takes me on like steep mountain cliff hikes and runs.
Danny.
And sometimes those are scary.
I know. I'm sorry, Tyson. I won't risk your life again.
That's okay. No, there's been multiple times where Danny's like, let's go along this cliff. And I'm like, no, I have to turn around.
Yeah. Boy, that would be a tough show for me that the Monday after you guys fell off a cliff.
Yeah. You'd have to do it all by yourself.
Do the whole show by myself.
That'd be tough.
Oh, man.
All right. So we'll see if we get any more information about this roller coaster and the Festival of Broken Necks and whether it's actual factual or actual craptual. All right. Let's just take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. And those are our friends over at Wix.com. Because if you need a website, why not do it yourself with the Wix.com, because you need to get the word out about your business. And it starts with a stunning website. No matter what business you're in, Wix has something for you. It's used by over 70 million people throughout the world. Tyson, did you have any idea that many people were on Wix.com?
I would have guessed closer into the 60, 65 million range. 70. But that's astounding.
70.
Wow. 70 million.
Yeah. You could do it yourself. You don't need to be a programmer or a designer. With hundreds of designer-made, customizable templates to choose from and easy drag-and-drop features with no coding needed, you can get your website live today. Danny, is there any reason to wait if you can get it live today?
Why would you?
Yeah.
It's just crazy.
No reason to procrastinate. It's free. Go to Wix.com and sign up for an entirely free account today. No credit card required. It's easy, and the result is stunning. So go to Wix.com today. That's Wix.com today. All right, Tyson, I know you're an animal lover. And I feel like this story must appeal to you. And so over in Brazil, there was a monkey that got loose in a bar and proceeded to drink the half kills of people that left rum on the bar. And then the drunken monkey did not proceed to build an American Gladiators obstacle course. Instead, the monkey grabbed a foot-long knife and chased people around the bar. Tyson, is this something that we should be concerned about in all of our establishments and protecting them against drunk monkeys?
Oh, I don't know if protecting ourselves against monkeys in places where monkeys don't thrive is necessarily the play, but I think it's hilarious. I wish somebody had a video. Is the knife an actual foot long or is it like a Subway foot long?
It is. Yeah, it is a giant. It doesn't matter. Foot long, 11 inches. It is a giant knife. And
yeah.
It looks terrifying in the hands of that monkey.
Yeah, there is some video. It's not the monkey chasing people, but the monkey is like on a roof somewhere. But Danny, isn't this like the first step in like some Planet of the Apes type stuff once the monkeys start using tools?
It could be. I think they would want to keep an eye on this monkey and his little clan.
Yeah.
I mean, already he's, you know, he's showing human-like behavior.
Yes. Somebody drunk, get James violent. Franco on the phone. Yeah, I don't know. We need a scientist.
Not Mark Wahlberg? Don't want to use Mark Wahlberg?
No.
You forgot to point out, Rob, that at least when this monkey was drunk, he was also a gentleman.
Yes.
He did not harass any women.
He only chased the men. he didn't try to take out any of the women with the knife.
So that's very
Bruce Jenner's really onto something here, I guess.
So, yeah, was he like sort of like, did he like was basically like claiming that he's like the alpha male and he basically had to chase all of the other suitors away because he was going to be the only male that was around with all these women?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That, maybe that's how it starts, right? Yeah. Meets with them, creates the half human, half monkey thing. And oh, I can't.
Yeah. My favorite part of this story is that the firefighters had to be called in to sort of help out with this situation. And the firefighters then described the incident as a staff oversight.
Yeah.
So hey, oversight, I guess.
You guys knew when you hired a monkey.
Like they really shouldn't have let the monkey. They should have cut the monkey off after a couple of rums. That was really, really a big mistake that they made. Classic barkeep 101. You know, after the monkey is like slurring his words, then you got to cut him off.
Their own fault.
Yeah. But really, I mean, it's amazing to me that the monkey knew to go in a bar, knew to start drinking, knew where to find a knife, knew to chase the men around. Like, I really think that this monkey seems like this could be a big threat.
Well, you want to know a real threat? There's occasionally stories about elephants that get drunk on rice, beer, or whatever it is, and they're a real threat. They actually do trample people. This guy, I think he was just mostly for show. I mean, he's up on the roof with his knife, scaring people away. But those elephants, they're angry drunks.
Yeah.
And he was peacocking. He wasn't going to really do anything.
He was showing off.
Peacocking.
He was showing off for everybody. All right. Well, we'll see if we have any more stories about monkeys with knives. I saw a video. John Oliver had a video of a crab with a knife also recently.
Yeah, I saw that too.
I wonder if this could be the beginning of a thing where more and more animals get their hands on knives.
Yeah, the overthrow of the humans.
Okay.
With knives, I feel like we have more powerful weapons than that.
For now.
Right now.
Well, that's the story of a monkey with a knife who was drinking rum, but there is a new way that people can get their hands on some alcohol. So there is a new product, which I guess is probably convenient for people who might not be able to make it to mass every Sunday, which allows you to have a single serving of the communion host or the wafer and also communion wine in a package that is being sent out to people. And so it has created a bit of controversy from people saying that in addition to being disrespectful, it's also, you know, potentially a problem with single serve packets of wine being shipped around. Tyson, do you like this idea?
Well, I mean, if you need the communion to save your soul, then obviously I love this idea because I don't want to go to church.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. What is our wafers good?
Are they good?
Taste good?
Not really.
Yeah. What do they taste like?
Then why wouldn't you just eat candy?
Wow. That's not, the candy is not the body of Jesus Christ.
Okay. You've got a point there. Well, what if we kind of made a shift? What if we made some type of religious shift?
I think that's over. I think that ship has sailed. I think you got to find a new God to be a candy God.
You don't think we could use
a 6 foot like a gummy bear?
You know how they make those? You know how they make those gummy hamburgers?
No.
Yes. Yeah. The little ones. The tiny little ones. Yeah.
The little gummy candy hamburgers.
Those would be great.
Well, you could just use a wafer that's just a gummy wafer, dude. It looks like a wafer still. It just tastes delicious.
I don't know. Danny, do you have any issue with this? People are also saying it's very environmentally unfriendly because of all the packaging that's used.
I'm looking at Fellowship Cup, pre-filled communion cups, juice and wafer, 100 cups on Amazon, 4.5 stars, $21.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is that what they're talking about? 4.5 stars
is pretty good.
That's pretty good.
You know what I like about it? I think this is a good idea because if you go to church and then you have like the communion wine, it's basically like everybody in the church, if you go drink that wine, you're basically like sharing a cup with hundreds of different people. Gross. Like it's probably like the least.
Oh, whoa. You all share the same cup?
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah. I mean, this is Like you stand, you go, you stand in line, and then they have the wine that was blessed by the priest, and then you come up, and they say, okay, and then everybody like takes a sip out of the same cup. I know it's blessed, but I don't know.
Wow, the Black Plague is starting to make more sense to me.
Seems like a potential disaster waiting to happen.
Now, customers who bought these prepackaged wafers and fellowship cups, they also bought frankincense and myrrh.
Okay.
So that was one of those.
Wow.
Is that something?
So it's wise men. It's mostly wise men that are buying these up then.
Yeah.
Is that something that's used as well in these services?
I know that from the nativity story. I'm not sure if they necessarily.
This seems like a weird companionship item.
It might be what they are actually using to bless the communion during the church service. But I wonder if then communion at the church will turn into sort of like, in your office, it's like, okay, who's going out to lunch? Who brought their own lunch? If you can sort of just bring your own communion to the service. Like, oh no, I'm good. I'm not going to get on the line. I brought my own today. You guys go. You guys go.
I would definitely be that guy because I am not putting my lips where, 100 other people's lips have been.
You don't have to
drink
the
wine. Lick a doorknob.
That's optional. You don't have to do it.
So taking communion is optional?
No. Well, I mean, everything is optional, but I think you have the option when you go that the wafer is not as optional. The wine is optional, but I think that it's sort of like an appeal to it. Like when you're a kid of like, okay, well, at least, it's like, 11:45 on a Sunday, but at least I get to drink some wine right now.
You don't want to drink on an empty stomach. So you take the wafer.
Right? No, you need, that's the communion. That's when people are going, that's where you're getting your money's worth there for the, going to church on Sunday, getting you through the week.
That's where you get your money's worth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why you have to go to church. You got to get that communion.
I feel like you've really sold me on church.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I think that maybe the single serve wine, I don't know if there's a better way to do it, but that's what people are talking about. But look, if it makes people happy, then, I say that I'm all for this.
Now, one last question before we move on. Who doesn't like the idea? Just other, people in the congregation, or does the church itself not like it?
Well, people are saying that it's disrespectful to be putting the communion into single serve packages. Environmentalists are also saying that there's too much packaging going on here. Yeah.
Okay.
So, but interesting, interesting. And I guess also then potentially people could abuse it also. Open up 50 or 60 of those wine packets and then you can get a buzz going.
Better ways to do these totally.
I'm going to top off. Yeah. Because I feel like even if you have some type of alcohol problem, communion is probably not frowned upon.
Yeah, probably not. But, you could just like, maybe it could make you fall off the wagon. I don't know.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. This is a serious story that is going on. So a teenager, I believe this is in Florida, a teenager has been arrested posing as a doctor and giving medical exams and advice at a clinic that he founded and posing as a gynecologist.
I hope it's Doogie Howser. I hope that's the name he used.
Yeah, I mean, this is like a crazy story that this accused teenage doctor. I mean, the nerve of this guy, like, really, isn't this quite audacious, Tyson?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. It's crazy also that he was able to do all that, to open his own practice. What a go-getter,
Yeah, he really was. I mean, who were the women that were going to this 17-year-old teenage gynecologist?
I bet they were all school teachers.
How was it being referred? Like, how was he getting any clients?
I don't know.
Where was his office? What did his office look like? Did he take up residency in like an abandoned building and then just put a bunch of pictures of babies on the wall?
Yeah.
It's so perplexing that I feel like if I were there, I would sniff it out pretty quick. Like
pheromones.
Yeah. You'd be like, There's a liar in this room. I can smell
like
it.
Like the teenage doctor, like you go in and he's like, okay, I'm done. And they're like, you just looked at it and drooled for a little bit. And now you're, and took pictures. That's
took
all.
A picture
yeah.
With your phone. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You took a picture with your phone. Yeah. That's,
yeah.
That's all. It's a new thing.
So, a couple of interesting things about the guy. His name is Malachi Love Robinson, aka Dr. Robinson. He was 18 years old. He also, in addition to on his website having a PhD, he also claimed to have an HHPC and an AMPC, but nobody knows what those abbreviations stand for.
He's just making up abbreviations.
Yes.
Looking at his picture, he looks pretty legit. He looks like a caring individual.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess he does. He looks a little older. I don't know. He doesn't look like me at 17, who looked like I was 14 when I was 17.
I think a lot of the answers can be found in the title of his business, New Birth, New Life, Holistic and Alternative Medical Center and Urgent Care. So, I mean, no one's going to question you when you bring out the healing crystals. They're not looking for a degree, you know?
Yeah.
I also feel like since he's been practicing for so long, he's probably learned the ropes and we should just continue to let him practice.
Yeah. Well, what ropes are there in the New Life Holistic and Alternative Medical Center? Like healing hemp ropes, or I mean, it just doesn't seem like you could literally take a course online for that degree and then print it and put it on your wall and be legit.
Yeah, I mean, it does seem like this young man was out there actually trying to, like, he wasn't just like pranking people. Like, he apparently is a believer in what he's able to do and sort of set up this office to be able to see people. Like, I don't think he was doing it just like as a goof.
Yeah.
Was he doing it to make money?
According to, I think this is from, I'm trying to see who this quote is from, he's not out there doing drugs. He's not trying to rob anybody. He's trying to do something constructive. And if he did do something and the paperwork wasn't right, he can get ahead of himself sometimes. And he may have been just trying too hard, but he has good intentions.
Well,
so is that a crime?
Good intentions never hurt anybody.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, the road to opening up a teenage gynecology office is often paved with good intentions, though.
That's one of my favorite sayings.
Yes. Do you think he got his degree from Good Intentions University?
Yes. Yes. I mean, is there a, like, it just happens to be that, like, so what does, like, the 18-year-old guy open up, like, a fake medical office to do is, of course, it's gynecology.
Yeah, of course.
Like, yeah. No chance that he's opening up, like, you know, a psychiatry office or anything, like, dentistry. Like, no, gynecology. Wow. Going in.
Now, he's not the only teen. I don't know if you guys saw this story this week, but he's not the only teen who's pretending to be somebody he's not. There was a teen who posed as a state senator
for
weeks. And he actually went and gave a talk at a school and he claims he almost got a police escort.
Yeah.
So it just seems like teens these days are growing up so fast.
Yeah. They're getting bolder.
They're so smart.
They're getting bolder. Yeah. Yeah.
a state senator. Is that what you said?
Yeah. State senator.
Yeah.
Oh, what a baller.
Now, he says the stunt was part of his research for a paper on school security in rural communities.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's what. And then, yeah, actually, at the bottom of this page, they have how a Florida woman was duped by Dr. Love. And then it has a picture of our gynecologist.
Yeah, I do like that his name is Dr. Love also.
He's got spectacles. That always adds a little gravitas. Yeah.
This is a good plot for like another 80s movie. If we can't remake Love Potion Number 9, which is technically a 90s movie, I feel like that this movie of the, you know, 18-year-old kid pretending to be the gynecologist, I think that is a great 80s movie.
Well, why don't you just combine these two kids into one story and then have a new modern day Catch Me If You Can?
Oh,
yeah.
Sure. I like
Can
that.
We also add the story of the Barefoot Bandit?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Tag them all, throw them all together.
Why not? All right, here's a story. You know, I don't like to talk too much politics on this show, but there is an island in Canada called Destination Cape Breton, which is marketing itself to Americans who might want to flee the country if Donald Trump becomes the president. They are advertising that people can come in, and if Donald Trump becomes the president, that they can go ahead and move to this island in Canada. And they said they've had over 50,000 inquiries about this.
That doesn't. Yeah. I mean, how many seems people like are really going number. To change their citizenship? It seems like a, is it a lot of work? Does anybody know?
I don't know. But people are can people are looking. Dual? Yeah,
I don't think you can dual citizenship. I don't think you can.
Because if they gave me Canadian plus American, I think I would take that.
Yeah. That should more places do this for basically like, should there be a place to go? Like, should a different place say like, well, if Hillary Clinton becomes president, that you should move here. Like, oh, if Ted Cruz becomes president, you should move here. If Bernie Sanders becomes president, you should move here.
So this island is just east of Maine.
Okay.
Just east of New Brunswick. So northeast, east of... It looks nice. No, it's in Nova Scotia.
But I just feel like that is such a thing to say. Back like I remember when in 2004, I remember when Richard Hatch was saying like, "Oh, if George Bush wins the presidency, I'm moving out of the United States. I'm leaving. That's it." I just feel like that people always say that like, "If so and so wins the presidency, I'm leaving the country." Nobody has ever left.
The lead singer for Arcade Fire did.
Yeah, did he really?
Yeah, and then he just barely got, they were doing an interview with him. He was at a celebrity basketball match, and he started talking about how much better Canada was. And
why did he leave? Because Obama won?
I would say he didn't like our foreign policy, if I remember correctly. It was quite a while ago. And he just liked some of the ideas that Canada has, you know, nationwide healthcare. They're a bit looser on marijuana. I don't know. I'll call him up on the phone and get some.
Yeah. Ask him what he says.
So some people do.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like that's not necessarily tied to a political election. I just feel like that's the biggest empty threat going of. So if so-and-so wins the presidency, I'm moving out of the country. Alec Baldwin said that a couple of years ago also.
That one guy left France. The big French actor moved to Russia.
No, that's not this country, though. Because of some political
reason. I know, but people do it.
All right.
Well, I feel like if anybody that makes that threat should be forced to act if that person gets elected.
It's like one of these like WWE like retirement matches. You have to retire if you lose the match.
Yeah, I kind of like that. Like, if it's on public record, you saying you will move, if your friend records you on his iPhone or whatever, then it's a contract.
You have bound to go. To leave. Really put some stakes on election night. That's right.
That would make things way more interesting.
And then we have a follow-up on a story that we talked about a while ago about the woman who was drunk periscoping. Our News AF intern, Lita, has an update for us about that the woman who periscoped and proclaimed she was drunk while driving has escaped jail time after taking a plea deal. The woman, she hit a sign while she was drunk driving on Periscope back in October, will receive community service, a license suspension, probation, and alcohol treatment, but no jail time. What do you think?
No jail time.
Should they have thrown the book at her, Danny?
Well, I don't know. Is that enough to discourage her?
Yeah. Feels like that. Are other periscopers going to be driving hopped up on communion wine and feeling like that they don't have to do any jail time?
Yeah, I'm reading it right now. 150 hours of community service.
Yeah. What if that monkey on rum might have been on Periscope too? We talked about last week. Can they prosecute animals for committing crimes?
Yeah, we might want to consider that. You know,
I think they should have thrown that monkey in the drunk tank.
12 months
with the knife.
Boy, that would be huge if they could get a monkey periscoping.
It's only a matter of time.
It's only a matter of time.
Yeah. They had that, what was it, a chicken that was tweeting? Remember in Australia?
Yeah, that's right. That's the chicken plate.
So monkey chicken
tweeting.
Seem that far removed.
Yeah. If some business could get a monkey periscoping, or they get a monkey on Blab, that'd be incredible.
I'll buy or eat whatever it is you're selling.
Sure.
If you've got a monkey periscoping.
Absolutely. I'd even take a monkey on one of those like self-driving office chairs. Wouldn't that be hilarious? Just watching the monkey ride around the office on the chair.
Yeah, they should have thrown in a monkey.
Yeah.
Are the office chairs going to take over cars? Did we ever even think of that?
That's huge. That could be incredible.
Can they be easily hacked and then someone just drives it through a window on the 53rd floor?
Yeah. No? Could you be drunk periscoping on an office chair?
Yeah. Is that going to be against the law to drink and chair ride at the same time?
Yeah. They should force this woman to be only in the self-driving office chair and just take her car away too. She can't be trusted.
Well, I'm pro automated office chair now.
Okay. You're in. It'd be good in like those Mad Men type offices where everybody's drunk anyway.
Those still exist?
Yeah, I think so.
Those did exist? Did those ever exist?
I think they existed. Pretty sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Danny, any other news stories you want to touch on this week?
No, I think we covered. I really only wanted to get to the monkey with the knife. That was my favorite story.
Yeah. We'll see. Any other monkey weapon stories we'll be sure to cover. Tyson, anything else?
Well, our friend Olison444 in the chat room said that all these fakes, like the fake doctor, said that there was a Chinese man last year who got rejected at a bank, so he created his own fake bank and was taking deposits and stuff.
Yeah.
And it's not even the first time that's happened in China. They said the last time a fake bank opened up, they conned people out of like $32 million or something.
Holy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Boy, I mean, could you just say like, no, it's not a fake bank. We're becoming a real bank. We're on our way.
Yeah, fake bank swindles customers out of $32 million on BBC.com.
I'd be so mad. I'd really be pissed if I thought I was going.
If that was your $32 million.
Right. I had $32 million. I think, okay, you guys are a real bank, right?
You put all in one
place. Yes, Mr. Sestrino, sure, we're a real bank.
Put this in checking.
Like, okay, got it. So we'll see. Okay. Well, lots of fun stuff that we talked about today.
Yeah, we had a great time.
Yes.
Good connection, my internet connection.
Good. It was a little dicey before we came on.
It was. Probably the most dangerous thing.
We got it all figured
day.
Out.
Yeah, I know. It was really...
So far.
Yeah. Yeah. So we got it all straightened out. All right. So what is the hashtag for this episode of the podcast?
I was trying to come up with a clever play of monkey and knife, but I couldn't.
Or I would say drunk monkey, but that's probably a pretty popular hashtag.
Yeah.
Yeah. Probably is. Anybody in the chat room have knife anything monkey? That we could use? Knife monkey or monkey knife?
We're really, yeah, let's just go with the monkey theme. We can come up with something.
Yeah. All right. We'll go with knife monkey for now. And then if we come up with something better, love potion AF is what Paul Board just says.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Tyson, you want to talk about any of our news AF reviews of the week?
Obviously I do.
Okay. Of course, you can follow the News AF team on social media. Tyson is on Twitter. He is at Tyson Apostle. Danny is on Twitter favoriting tweets at Danny Bryson. I am also at Rob Sesternino, and we do our News AF live every week at 12 noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Mondays. And of course, you could subscribe to the News AF podcast feed at newsaf.news. Which will take you to our iTunes store or search for News AF in your favorite podcatcher. That's right.
Yeah, you can. That's right. Okay, we got one right here.
Great.
Let's hear it.
What is Tyson's job? Question mark.
Yeah, that's a good question.
5 stars by OMAC3905. Tyson, who is obviously making bank from Survivor winners' residuals to vacation for 6 weeks in Hawaii, is a nice enough to pull away from his Kahlua pork and star fruit once a week to join Rob and Danny in recapping the news you actually want to know about. They will make you feel better for not being able to afford a hoverboard, too grossed out to try the starchy, potentially cheeseless mozzarella sticks from McDonald's, and happy your real name is not Foodabit or Zippa-Doo-Bop-Bop or whatever. Was this review helpful?
Yes. Yes.
So thanks. Thanks, OMAC3905.
Yeah.
Oh, that was a great review.
Wow. So that's really somebody who's paying attention here.
Yeah. One of our fans.
Yeah. Tyson, that's amazing. How much money are you making on Survivor residuals these days, if you don't mind me asking?
I get paid about $500,000 for every time Survivor airs an episode.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Wow.
Tyson, I saw that people were taking screenshots of their DVR, which was saying that the upcoming episode of Survivor, that it was featuring you as one star. It was like Survivor starring Tyson Apostle.
Did you see that? That's pretty great, huh?
Yeah.
Still cashing out on my name.
Right. Oh, boy, that's residuals just keep pouring in.
Yeah, just, yeah, it's crazy, dude. It's not the first time it happened. I think on the last Blood versus Water, they actually showed a commercial with my cast in it. So it was like two seasons after, and it was like, confusing. Hey. And then when Blood versus Water was airing on like one of the TV guides, it said it was the same thing, but it said that the stars were Jeff Probst and Tyson Apostle, and those were the only two names listed on the. So, perfect. Yeah, you CBS is really.
Your agent is killing it.
Yeah, my agent is killing it. I think that CBS just knows what's going to draw fans in.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're not afraid to just keep using my name.
Yeah. Okay. Any good Hawaii stories you want to tell us about?
Well, I told you the shark tour got canceled again this morning.
Yeah, so that was a downer,
though. I rescheduled it for Wednesday. Yeah, that's a major downer. Aris and Vitas are in town, and we went and body surfed all the famous spots on the North Shore.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we annoyed the surfers pretty good.
Yeah. Why? What were you guys doing? Just talking Survivor?
No, yeah, we were just talking Survivor. No, we get kind of in their way because we're body surfing. But a surfer out there did recognize us.
Yes.
He's like, hey, you guys were on Survivor. And I was like, mind your own business, brudda.
Nice. Yeah. Good comeback.
Okay. All right. We'll be back next Monday for the final show of Tyson's Hawaii vacation. That'll be next Monday. That's going to be the 29th, a leap day celebration here on News AF.
Oh, we better have a bunch of leap day news.
Yeah, a bunch of leap day news. Of course, thanks so much to our News AF intern, Lita, who does a great job every single week, and Scott St. Pierre, who works very hard to make the edited podcast version of this spectacular. So thanks so much to Scott. We'll be back next week to talk more News AF. Take care, everybody. Bye.
Shaka, brothers. Aloha.